Okay.
Welcome to Ask Win, everyone. Now, I brought one of my she heels on this morning because what she's doing is amazing. Number one, she adopted a child from, I'm about to say Malaysia, and this child is a motivational speaker, and I have actually been given the opportunity to see this child speak twice. I shouldn't be calling Michelle a child. She's a young woman now, so sorry about that, Michelle. But this child has cerebral palsy, and as you know, I have cerebral palsy, and this is a childhood disability, but we grow into adulthood with this disability. And so I would like to welcome one of my CEOs, Catherine Kill. Catherine Kill is a huge disabled advocate, and Michelle actually lives on phone with 24-hour help. So that's a little bit about Catherine, and I'm going to let Miss Catherine take it away.
Well, hello, and Wynn, thank you so much for inviting me onto your show. I truly appreciate all that you're doing and the leadership that you show, you and Danielle both, in terms of employment and reaching for goals and the ambition that you demonstrate every day of your life. And you're not gonna let it be anything but the best. And that's what I think you contribute so much. And you're using this pioneer technology. Podcasts are something that is, you know, something that is going to be exploding. I'm curious about it. So I may be talking to you about consulting and helping me get a podcast going, because I think that might be something I have been encouraged to do by some folks, and I could learn from the best of you two on how to do that. But, well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
And if you don't mind me jumping in there, I would be honored, and it would be my great privilege to walk you through what I've learned over the years of doing this podcast, because I think we need more women out there doing disabled advocacy. I mean, I was talking to a woman yesterday whose episode will be coming out on Friday, Nancy Summers, and her advocacy work is all about service dogs and support animals and the stigma that we're trying to break behind that. And your advocacy work is all about people living on their own and equal opportunity in climate. So I think there's a huge need for people with and without disabilities to advocate for those of us who can't speak, and that's why I'm doing it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what your goal was with your podcast, because I think it's important for your listeners to know that. But it's also, I think having a woman's voice, a strong woman's voice, is important. And you're right, there's room for more. There's definitely room for more, and I think owning your life is a really important goal for all folks with disabilities and everybody in general. And having that true self-determination in terms of economic power, as well as, you know, choices in where you live and what work you do, and having the opportunity to engage in lifelong learning. That's a really important thing, because the world is changing so quickly. And I think sometimes when kids graduate from school who haven't gone through a special education program or had an IEP, an individual education plan, oftentimes they get lost in the adult system. And even if they get some support, people kind of support them and think that, well, we did that. We're kind of one and done, as I call it. We had our contact. We'll see you once a year. And life kind of maintains for people, if they're lucky, but it doesn't really grow. And I find that kind of oddly disturbing because the world is changing so quickly. The lives of a lot of people with disabilities are not. And, yeah, it's a concern of mine.
If I can jump in here for 2 seconds, you said what I would say on my soapbox so beautifully that I didn't have to use my soapbox this morning. You took the words right out of my mouth. Because I'm noticing, and I was very lucky, I didn't have to stay in high school until I was 21. I was given that option. My mother at the time, who I sadly lost to meningitis and a brain aneurysm, said, no way. My dad, who I still live with, also said no way. And when I turned in that paperwork without a signature, they're like, Wynn, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is the protocol, the standard operating procedure we give to you. We want this paperwork signed now. And I said, no, no, absolutely not. I am moving on with my life, even though I had to take a gap here because of the spinal fusion and getting my education degree. And I am walking with my class, whether you guys like it or not. And
well,
so you said that so beautifully, I just wanted to tell you that I won't be using my soapbox this morning.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad we're in agreement. You know, when two people agree, it kind of changes the world. So that, I always think that that is an important piece to get out there. So that's wonderful. But now we have to ask ourselves, where are we going? And how are we, I think one of the things that Colorado's in a good place around employment is that we really have the ability to shape the future now. We have some legislation through Senate Bill 77, which is really focused on developing a strategic plan for the state legislature around how we move employment first forward. And employment first is let's think about employment first before we think about other types of support. Let's look at people getting jobs out of high school instead of waiting until they get, you know, lost on the couch and the TV because the system moves so slowly. And how do we bring in other entities like Department of Education, Department of Higher Ed, Department of Labor, the voc rehab, all these other groups of people outside of the human service system, but connected to it to help move that ball forward. And so we have an Employment First Advisory Partnership that maybe some of your listeners would like to know about that is working on a strategic plan. We have submitted that to the legislature in November, and consequently another bill was passed, Senate Bill 145, that provided some funding to really look at developing that training, the plan a little bit more and in depth. And so there are a number of us from around the state who are working on that, representing a variety of people, to really looking how we get the word out to so people know that they can work, and how do we work with their benefits so they don't feel like they're going to lose any benefits, and how do we create self-employment opportunities for people and things like customized employment. And so one of the reasons why I wanted to do your podcast was I wanted to get the word out to people that, you know, we're really working on helping people get out of poverty through employment. And it's not there yet, but that's the goal. That's the future, is that we kind of break, you know, enhance, use supports where they're needed, but not create dependency on them if they're not needed. And people have so much talent. I think the other part that I so appreciate with you and Danielle as being authors and speakers yourselves is, and now radio hosts and who knows what else you're up to, Wynn, but I'm always of admiration that you're on the cutting edge. Is I know really you are, and so it's so admirable for you to be able to be that polished speaker and author. And Danielle as well, because she just was at our Families at the Forefront of Technology conference and did a wonderful presentation that was very well received. And I think she sold a few books. So I like that you know, people owning their lives and moving forward on that. And so those are the things that we want to get people out, kind of giving them ideas because they've got great talent, and just such as yourselves, and you have voices and you have problems that you can solve for the world. And we need to create a system that helps people go out and do that and be seen as contributors as much as anything else.
If I can jump in here, as you guys know, I'm a creative. As you guys know, I have a part-time job teaching, but I would love to do my podcast full-time. But with the situation, let's just say I am in a situation, I'm on Obamacare, let's face facts here, I'm on Obamacare, and I can only make $1,000 a month. And with the way Obamacare works, they kick you off if you make too much money. So the fact that Taslin is stemming this bill, which I'm 100% behind now that I know she's doing it, she doesn't tell me these things. And so I am 100% behind in championing this bill, because I would love to look at employment first for myself, be self-employed, do my podcast, do my books, and just make a living that way. And even though I am blessed to be financially covered, I still, that's one of my biggest fears of losing my Medicaid, because I will make too much money. But now that we're looking at employment first, I don't have that big fear in my lifetime.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the Medicaid buy-in program?
Yes. Yes. And I'm...
Has that worked for you at all?
I'm on the disabled... What do you want to call it? I'm on the disabled working... I'm on the disabled adult working program. So that's how I get my Medicaid. But my financial situation is changing here in the next couple months. So I will be looking for normal health insurance. Let's just put it that way. And, because I will be making too much money. Thank you very much to my grandfather, who did really well in Caterpillar tractors, and they set up a trust for their family. And of course, my mother passed away before the trust was instilled. So now I'm lucky next of kin that gets that trust, and I'm super blessed that I have the financial blessing to get myself out of the Medicaid system.
Yeah, yeah, that's nice. That's, well, you know, that's a good thing. That gives you a little bit more options. For those people who may not have that, if you go to the Colorado.gov website, there is a Medicaid Health First Colorado buy-in, and that if you do have some money, it could be child support that, you know, somebody receives at 18 that could disqualify them for some benefits. Or it could be that you want to start a small business and you can use some of your income for that small business to offset that and still maintain your Medicaid. There are a couple different options around that for, and that's one of the things, Wynn, that we're going to be working with people more is on benefits management, because it's so confusing. And a lot of people won't go to work because they feel like they're going to lose their Medicaid. But there are some programs, both through Social Security, one's called a PASS plan or a work incentive plan, that you can deduct some of your work expenses and against your income, and then that'll keep you eligible for the Medicaid, the medical part of the Medicaid program. You may lose your Social Security check, but if you're working and you're making money, you may not need it. So there's some ways to kind of, but there, we're trying to enrich that opportunity for people so they understand what is available to them.
I know you are, and people people ask me all the time, what's your feelings on this win? And I say I would rather keep myself healthy and work so I'm happy. As I said, I'm 100% behind what Catherine is doing, championing these bills in Congress to put employment first and benefits help first. I mean, we get lost in the system. If it wasn't for Catherine and I, you guys would be lost in the system.
It's complex. It really is. But there are, you know, we're trying to make it easier for people to access. That's one of our goals because it does take a lot of energy. And some folks don't have the energy or the time to really research this. And so their lives don't grow as typical people might experience, you know, a career growth or an opportunity to experience new things. And that's one of the things that does not promote health is when your life lacks purpose and meaning, which is really a huge part of health is having that. So, yeah. So that's it. But I think Colorado is in a better place than it's been in, I think, a couple decades. I think we've got some really good people at the state level right now at the healthcare and public financing that are really do have, are trying to figure it out so it's easier for people. And I think they believe in the capacity of people. And I think one of the things that we all have to get better is assuming competence. That was one, going back to my daughter, Mikkel, who's now 35, Lynn, if you can believe that. She's from Korea. And nobody believed in her because of her disability and the nature of it, because she uses a wheelchair and a communication device. And so when you can't walk or talk, people tend to underestimate what you can do. And you may be familiar with some of that too, Lynn, and that people sometimes can't get past the disability to see what the ability is. And I think one of the things that we've really tried to do is help people presume competence. That, and one of the quickest ways that Mikkel does that in an instant, and you probably do it too, is she's a business card. It's such a simple thing. A $10 investment is that when a person with a disability shows up with a business card, whether they're working or not, it presumes competence. And it's one of my little tricks that I tell people. I said, just go on Vistaprint and print out a business card. Because once people see you with a business card, they think you're like them. And that you're either looking for a job or you have a job. And that changes the conversation immediately. Well, what do you do? What are you looking for? And so people engage with you in a way that presumes that you're goal-oriented and that you have, you've got some chutzpah, you know, as they say. And people like that. Especially in a Western state, they like to see you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and so those are some little ways in which people can do that pretty quickly.
And so as we tie up this interview, because believe it or not, you guys, after this interview gets recorded, I'm actually speaking of living life to the fullest here since Catherine brought it up. I'm actually going outdoor rock climbing with my rock climbing instructor and my dad, and so I'm going to be out of range as of 10:30 a.m. this morning, and hopefully I can do it, but we're going to try it and living life to the fullest. Yeah, I mean, this is my life. We live in the beauty of Colorado, and might as well take the outdoor nature with us, even though we've been dealing with wildfires up here, which that doesn't make anyone's lungs very happy, including mine. But before I let Catherine go, I want to her to explain Mikkel's living situation, because as I said at the top of this interview, Catherine is one of my she-heels, and I'm trying to implement a little bit of her model in my own life.
Well, one of the things I wanted Mikkel to have was I wanted her to have her own home because I knew enough about how folks like Mikkel might be pushed around the system into different group homes or different host homes, and I didn't want that instability for her. I wanted her to own her own home, and I wanted her to have assets. And home ownership is one of the ones that does not count against your Social Security benefits. And we were very fortunate when she graduated. We were on the cusp of a recession. So we were able to find a three-bedroom condo in downtown Denver for a very, very good price. And it was actually a foreclosure at that time. And since, if you know anything about Denver right now, it is a hot town, and real estate prices have grown enormously. So Mikkel has assets that are okay. Social Security. She has a nest egg now. She has to sell it, of course, but it's there if she needs to. And the most important thing is that people come into her home and she is in charge of her home. It's nobody else's rules but Mikkel's rules. And so when she hires her staff to help her, which she does all the interviewing and the hiring, I do the background checks, as does, you know, the consumer directed, the tenant support services and public partnerships. They do, you know, the deep background checks, but I do the reference checks, and I kind of make sure everything's okay, and we have team interviews. And then Mikkel, using her technology, trains her people, but it's her room. It's her rules, and she owns that part of it, which makes it so much different. She doesn't have to ask permission. She doesn't have to do any of this other stuff. She doesn't have to live with people she doesn't want to live with.
No.
So she's got the security and the sanctity of her own home. And if I had to pick one decision that we made, that would probably be the best one that we did. Because when you have a stable living environment, you can look at work, you can look at other experiences, you can build your community. But when you're moving around and having to adjust to different people caring for you and supporting you, and they have different cultures in their home, that takes a lot of energy, so it holds people back. And there's a lot of, you know, I think one of the things that we don't talk about in the field too much is that there's an awful lot of grief that people with disabilities experience and their families both, because we have a fair amount of turnover in the system, and there are a lot of hellos and goodbyes. And if you have a home that is not one of the ones that you have to grieve about, you've got that security. But the grief, I would actually say you might want to even do a couple podcasts on that, because I think grief is not understood well in our system.
No. And when I wrote my book on my life and how I grew up in a stable home environment, everyone looked at me like I was crazy. Thank you very much. And I said, you know what, I'm doing this to get the word out there. And that has been my best-selling book, I Can Win, ever since I wrote that thing. And I had the privilege of watching Connie Lynn O'Connor, who is also one of the top advocates in the country, speak. And she spoke at a retreat. I was involved with, based out of Denver, out of the Peak Parent Center, and they did a workshop, not necessarily on how to deal with your disability, but how to deal with your disability with grace and your dreams and what you want to do with your life. And Connie was so impressed when I said I came back with my vision all solidified. She goes, wow, most of these kids don't come back in a year with their vision all solidified. My vision was to write a book and go back to school for my art. Well, it turns out my art is journalism. I thought it was painting, but that's a different art in itself. And I will continue that on as soon as I get my journalism degree. But I don't, when you don't have a support system, and this goes for able-bodied purple, green, or whatever color you are, you can't function. And so what Catherine and I are trying to do is bridge the gap between the able-bodied and the disabled. I mean, if you're moving around left, right, and center in your home life, you can't function and find a stable job. You can't function and find a stable anything.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Catherine, where can people find you, and where can people get a hold of Michaela? I know she's on YouTube. And where can people, if they want to know more about the system, where can people champion that bill, number one? Where can people find you? Where can people learn from you? Because, as I said, I want to put your model in my own life, which you didn't know that, but now you do.
I didn't know that, and yeah. That's great.
Where can people
the
find
best place
you?
To...
How can people get a hold of Michaela if they want to hire her to speak? I know she's still doing that on the speaking circuit. She just lights up a room like I do and like Danielle does.
Absolutely, she does. And we can be found on our website, which is called www.theshiningbeautifulseries.com. We've got videos on there for people to look at on how we kind of hold all this together. We've got, I think, 7 years of blogs on just daily life around disability, and there's some resources around home ownership on there. So I've tagged those different things. So if you type in home ownership, that blog should come up. And we blog probably 1 to 2 times a month, so it's pretty consistent. We are looking at doing a podcast or a video blog. That's the best way, is through our website. That would be the best way.
And you guys tell Michaela this too, Catherine, that I would be honored when you guys want to start a podcast, email me, because I would be honored to assist you guys in that. Because, as I said, I think more people need us in the system to advocate for them, because people are getting lost in the system all the time, and without advocates there, no one's going to get anything done. So that's my piece, and you guys have a great day. I'm going to be out of service, rock climbing, and I'll tell you guys all about it. I actually have a podcast episode coming up all about it, and so you guys have a great day, and I hope you enjoyed another fabulous episode learning about the system with Catherine, Carol, and I. Thanks to you guys.
Thank you, Wynn.